Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is December 12th, 2025. Today, the model wars hit a fever pitch. OpenAI has officially dropped GPT 5.2, a release that feels less like a product launch and more like a counterstrike against Google's surging Gemini 3. Meanwhile, the legal hammer has dropped. Disney is suing Google for copyright infringement, claiming your favorite Star Wars characters are training their models without permission. We also look at hardware sovereignty. Rivian is building its own chips to own the road, while Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are looking to the stars to solve the energy crisis by building data centers in orbit. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Now let's unravel the news.
Welcome to the deep dive. If you feel like the world of AI is moving at, well, light speed, you are definitely not wrong.
Not at all.
The competitive intensity right now among the major players is just... It's unlike anything we've seen in modern tech.
It really is. And our sources for this deep dive are incredibly focused. We're looking at a stack of briefings, analyses, and reports, all from a single day, December 12th, 2025.
Just one day.
One day. And what's so remarkable is how it revealed these concurrent battles being fought on, every single front. Software, hardware, regulation, even in space.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Our mission here is to take all these high-stakes moves and distill them down to the essential strategic knowledge for you.
Right.
We want to help you understand the central tension that's defining the entire industry, the incredible clash between the quest for bigger is better, you know, those massive generalist models, and the intense, often proprietary world of specialized industrial AI.
And that tension, that's the thread connecting every single thing we analyzed. Are we just watching a bubble fueled by hyperscale hype, or is this frantic acceleration actually a necessary step toward? Well, an era defined by real, specialized utility.
Exactly. Where's the long-term value? In the chat interface or on the assembly line?
That is the key question.
So let's start where the competitive fire is hottest, the great model duel, OpenAI versus Google.
Absolutely. And the context of this rivalry is so important. Google's Gemini lineup, especially after Gemini 2 launched, had really put OpenAI on its heels for months.
They were on the back foot, so this necessitated a rapid, almost frantic counterpunch.
The pressure was enormous. I mean, there were reports of major internal dissent about how fast they were rolling this out, especially with their huge infrastructure costs. But they delivered GPT 5.2, codenamed Garlic.
Garlic, okay. And they're positioning it as their most capable series yet for professional knowledge work.
That's the line. Right. And they didn't just release one model. They immediately segmented the market.
Right. I saw that. Three tiers for professional users. Instant, thinking, and pro.
Exactly. Instant for quick queries, thinking for complex reasoning, and pro for when you need maximum accuracy. It shows a real maturity in how they see monetization.
You pay for the level of certainty you need.
Precisely. And the performance gains were substantial, especially in reducing hallucinations, improving coding, vision processing, things like that. But the crucial metric they pushed was something called the GDPVAL benchmark.
Okay, so GDPVAL. This isn't just another abstract test, is it?
Not at all. It's a multi-step, real-world measurement designed to prove commercial utility in day-to-day business.
So what did that score actually mean for... Yeah, for us, for knowledge workers.
It means GPT 5.2 is now a direct competitor to mid-level white-collar staff. The thinking model beat or matched industry professionals a staggering 71% of the time.
71%. On what kind of tasks?
On real-world things like updating complex spreadsheets, reviewing contract drafts, generating slide decks. I mean, that percentage is a massive psychological benchmark.
7 out of 10 tasks. Wow.
That immediately shifts the entire conversation about the labor market.
And to enable that, they made some pretty sharp choices. They increased the API cost for 5.2 by 40%.
But they also blew open the context window to 400,000 tokens.
Which is huge.
It's massive. That price hike is a strategic declaration. They're saying, this is a premium, high-value tool, and we are capturing that value. But that 400,000 token window is the real technical shift.
Just for context, what does that let you do?
It's like processing and reasoning across hundreds of detailed documents at once, or reviewing an entire mid-size software code base. It turns the AI from a search assistant into a complete document reviewer.
So Google's response wasn't another model, it was more about application. They upgraded their deep research agent.
Right, running on Gemini 3 Pro, and now it's accessible via their new Interactions API. This is Google playing to its core strength in search.
How does it work?
It doesn't just answer a question, it actually simulates a rigorous human research process. It plans search strategies, it reads the results, it identifies gaps in what it knows, and then it queries again.
So it's an iterative loop.
It automates the entire research cycle, not just a single lookup. And their performance claims back it up. State-of-the-art scores on two really tough benchmarks: Deep Search QA and Humanity's Last Exam.
Which are notoriously difficult.
Exactly. It's a signal that the competition is moving beyond just raw token count and into autonomous agency.
And we're seeing that agency move directly into user interfaces. Google also showed off an experimental browser, Disco.
Right, using Gemini 3 to create custom apps right from your open tabs. The first feature, Gen Tabs, can look at all your travel booking sites and your chat history and just build you a travel itinerary.
That's AI becoming a true operating system layer.
It is. Which brings us to the biggest strategic debate looming over this whole industry.
The hyperscale bubble.
Precisely. This counter-narrative is gaining enormous traction, especially in Europe. The core argument in that Financial Times report is that the U.S. bigger is better approach is just creating an asset bubble.
And they draw a sharp line between hyperscale, which is the generalist model trained on the whole internet,
and vertical AI, specialized industrial models. The argument is that hyperscale models are becoming liabilities in some industries. They're too expensive, too broad, and way too prone to hallucinations.
It makes intuitive sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you're a German car manufacturer, you don't need an AI that knows Shakespeare.
You need an AI that knows your proprietary engineering schematics, that can fine-tune an assembly line for safety and efficiency. That's the vertical value.
And this vertical approach is all about trust and security.
Exactly. Hospitals need diagnostic tools that stick to medical standards, right? They can't have creative hallucinations. The FT argues the EU's regulatory focus is actually a huge opportunity for European tech to win by pioneering secure by design engineering.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because we're already seeing companies make billion-dollar bets on this vertical thesis in hardware.
Like Rivian.
The electric truck manufacturer, they're skipping third-party suppliers entirely.
Completely.
Yeah.
And building their own proprietary 5-nanometer chip, the Rivian Autonomy Processor, with TSMC.
That is the definition of critical vertical integration.
It is. They're training their own large driving model specific to their vehicles and their data to get to level four autonomy. By controlling the silicon, the data, and the model, they control their own destiny.
And they are monetizing this immediately. They're launching an Autonomy Plus subscription service.
For $49.99 a month, or a $2,500 one-time fee starting early 2026. This isn't just R&D, it's a high-margin revenue strategy built on owning their specialized AI stack.
We're seeing the specialization even at the molecular level with DeepMind.
They're opening an automated research lab in the UK. This place will use robots and specialized AI to autonomously run scientific experiments, discovering new materials for batteries, for chips.
With minimal human intervention, what does that actually shift in the process of discovery?
It just accelerates the experimental cycle exponentially. It removes human bias, it eliminates small errors, and it lets the AI run thousands of tests 24/7. It's a vertical bet on automating fundamental R&D.
Now, connecting all this to the geopolitical picture, we have to talk about copyright. NG.
Oh, it's a mess. The landscape is basically defined by selective enforcement that's tailored to corporate partnerships.
Okay, so give us the example.
On one hand, you have Disney sending this scathing cease and desist letter to Google,
For what specifically?
naming Gemini, Veo, Imogen, accusing them of massive, unauthorized use of Star Wars and Frozen characters to train their models.
So that sounds like they're declaring an IP war.
It does, but here's the pivot. That warning arrived one day before Disney announced a massive $1 billion partnership with OpenAI.
Wait, a licensing partnership.
A licensing deal that explicitly allows Sora users to create videos with over 200 Marvel and Pixar characters.
But isn't that just blatant hypocrisy? How can they defend the C&D against Google when they just monetize the exact same thing with OpenAI?
It shows that copyright enforcement right now isn't about principle, it's about strategic leverage. Disney is using its IP as a weapon against Google while monetizing it with OpenAI. The real battle is about controlling access to the best training data.
And speaking of the highest stakes competition, we have to look up to space.
Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are in a flat-out race to launch orbital AI data centers.
Powered by solar. Why, what's the bottleneck they're trying to solve?
Energy. They're trying to bypass the biggest bottleneck on Earth, securing vast amounts of clean energy and avoiding the regulations that come with it. In orbit, you get solar power 24/7 with no interference.
So Blue Origin is building tech for its new Glenn rocket, and SpaceX is planning payloads for Starship. But the engineering hurdles here have to be immense, right?
Undeniably. I mean, you're wrestling with physics. Extreme temperature fluctuations, constant radiation shielding, and the biggest one, reducing data lag.
Getting all that data back down to Earth.
With minimal latency. It's a titanic challenge, but the strategic prize owning the infrastructure where the next generation of AI is trained makes the investment worthwhile.
Which brings us to our third big theme, deepening capabilities and understanding how people are really using these tools.
Let's start with capability, specifically high-level math. Nos Research open-sourced a system called Nomos One. It's a relatively small 30 billion parameter model.
Okay.
But it scored an incredible 87 out of 120 on the 2025 Putnam contest.
The Putnam, that's the elite college math competition. To put that in perspective for you, what does that score actually mean in human terms?
That score would have placed Nomos one second among nearly 4,000 human competitors last year.
A small open source AI is outperforming almost every single human on an elite math contest.
And what's fascinating is how it did it. It uses this two-phase approach where multiple AI workers try to solve the problem, and then a self-critiquing mechanism picks the best solution. It's mimicking a collaborative research team inside the machine. The math barrier has been breached.
That's a powerful look at future utility. But let's move from benchmarks to actual daily use. Microsoft published a really interesting study.
Analyzing 37.5 million Copilot conversations, it gives us a real window into user behavior.
And what do they find?
The segmentation by device is really insightful. Health and wellness queries, they just overwhelmingly dominated mobile use. It positions the phone as this around-the-clock wellness companion.
And the timing of the usage tells a story, too, right?
It does. Late-night sessions saw philosophical, religious, and existential topics climb way up. And relationship chats, predictably, spiked around Valentine's Day.
So the trend is clear. Users are treating AI as more of a guidance source, an emotional sounding board.
Exactly. It's moving from being a library assistant to, well, a late-night philosopher and sometimes a therapist for millions.
This data also informs the strategic pivot we're seeing in hardware, which really reinforces that whole vertical AI thesis.
It does. After the failures of those early overhyped phone replacements like the Humane Pin and Rabbit R1,
the market is now focusing on simple, reliable utility.
And that pivot is perfectly shown by devices like the Core Devices Index Era 1, a simple $75 AI smart ring.
What does it do?
One thing, reliably. It's a voice recorder with a local on-device LLM that turns your spoken ideas into organized tweets. No subscription, 2 years of battery life. It's a narrow focus tool.
The lesson learned seems to be that new hardware has to be specialized and reliable, not just another smartphone clone.
We're seeing that focus in robotics, too. Look at 1X pivoting its neo-humanoid robot. They shifted from the incredibly complex consumer home market to immediate industrial applications.
So factories and logistics sites.
Exactly. A partnership to deploy 10,000 units. It shows the immediate reliable value is in that specialized, repeatable industrial setting, not trying to fold laundry in someone's home.
So when we synthesize all of this, what does this massive multi-front war actually mean for you, the listener?
Well, we really covered three major tensions defining the industry today. First, you have that hyper-competitive speed war between the big labs, OpenAI, and Google, who are just spending billions to trade blows and maintain dominance.
A battle of pure scale.
And rapid iteration. Second, there's the undeniable strategic necessity of specialized vertical AI. You see it with Rivian building chips and DeepMind launching automated labs. The market is betting on focused proprietary competence.
And third?
And third, the evolving, deeply personal way people are actually using these tools for philosophical guidance, for health advice, for simple utility, it shows a fundamental shift in where people turn for information and guidance.
It was such a profound year that Time magazine officially recognized it, right? Naming the architects of AI Huang, Altman, Amade, and Musk as its 2025 Person of the Year.
It's an explicit cultural acknowledgement that these technologies aren't on the periphery anymore. They're the new foundation.
So a final thought for our listeners to take away from all this.
If the long-term sustainable economy is truly built on this specialized, secure, industrial, vertical AI, the kind that optimizes an assembly line or discovers a new material, are we entering an era where the most valuable AI doesn't even have a chat interface or a friendly persona? Are we moving past the visible consumer layer and into this quiet, proprietary industrial infrastructure that's going to drive global productivity?
Something for you to mull over as you see these technologies evolve beyond the headlines and into the factory floor.
That wraps up today's briefing. The signal for today is verticalization. While the U.S. giants fight a hyperscale war, trying to build one model that does everything for everyone, we are seeing the smart money move toward the specific. Whether it is Rivian building a chip just for driving, DeepMind building a lab just for materials science, or European industries focusing on secure, engineering-grade AI rather than creative chatbots, the future may not belong to the biggest model, but to the most specialized one. Before we go, a reminder for the leaders listening. Stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing. Spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until tomorrow, keep unraveling the future. Let's go.